After this controversial study emerged, there was naturally a tidal wave of criticism. Dr. Lorber acknowledged that it is difficult to interpret brain scans, and he published a much more thorough study in 1984. He found that in the case of the math student who had an IQ of 126, fully 44% of his entire brain volume had been lost, and the rest of his brain tissue was compressed down into a super thin layer lining the inside of the skull. Nonetheless, he was happily enjoying a significantly above average IQ and had no trouble thinking and remembering information. This shows just how far our concept of thinking with the source field can really go. Luckily, no one has to suffer with this condition anymore, thanks to the surgical solution of installing shunts to drain the fluid. The same is not true for the animal population. Throughout Central Europe, many laboratory hamsters end up with hydrocephalus as a hereditary condition. In 2006, Veterinary Pathology Journal published a study showing that even the hamsters with the most severe forms of hydrocephalus, again where their brains are almost completely non-existent, still appear to be just fine. They do not show any strange behaviors or difficulties, and can act, think, remember, move their bodies, and breed in all the normal ways. It is fascinating to explore the connection between Gadeyev's DNA phantom and the idea of a holographic brain that is actually doing some of the thinking for us. If Gadeyev is right, and the DNA molecule really does capture and store light, then we should certainly assume that other scientists would have independently discovered the same thing. DNA stores, transforms, and releases coherent light. One of my favorite parts of The Field by Lynn McTaggart is her discussion of the work of Fritz Albert Popp, a theoretical biophysicist at the University of Marburg in Germany, who began making very similar discoveries starting in 1970. Although Popp did not discover the DNA phantom, his work ties in with Gadeyev's findings very nicely, and also adds in additional breakthroughs. Popp started out by examining one of the most deadly carcinogens known to man, technically called benzoapyrene. When he zapped it with ultraviolet light, he found that it absorbed the light but then sent it back out at a totally different frequency. A very similar chemical, benzoepyrene, did not have this light scrambling effect, and unlike its deadly cousin, it was totally harmless to living organisms. Was this light scrambling effect the missing key to understanding what causes cancer? After Popp studied 37 other chemicals, some of which were carcinogens, he found that every single cancer-causing substance would rearrange ultraviolet light the same way. These deadly carcinogens consistently targeted the frequency of 380 nanometers. In fact, the only common link Popp could find between these various cancer-causing chemicals was that they all took in this 380 nanometer light and rearranged it to some other frequency. Obviously, this implies that 380 nanometer light is very important for our overall health and well-being. But if you never allow any sunlight to touch your skin without wearing sunscreen, you may not be getting very much of it, since sunscreen completely blocks ultraviolet light. Popp then learned that many biological lab experiments have proven you can destroy 99% of a cell with ultraviolet light, but if you then give it a very weak pulse of the same wavelength, it almost completely recovers in a single day. This is known as photo repair, and no one really understands why it works. To Popp's amazement, the best photo repair effects were already known to occur at 380 nanometers, even though none of these scientists knew anything about his discovery. Therefore, it appears that as the source field flows into our own measurable reality, its electromagnetic signature is the strongest at the 380 nanometer wavelength. The source field also has fluid-like properties, a very important point we will go into more detail about later on. This means you can create a rhythmic pulsation, or what most people would call a vibration, within the field itself, and get much stronger effects. Think about how Roman soldiers had to change the speeds they were marching as they went over a bridge in different groups. Otherwise, if they all marched at the same speed, the entire bridge would start shaking and could even completely come apart. All those little vibrations kept on resonating, and pretty soon they would build up to much larger effects. The same thing applies to the source field, except that here, it's a good thing. So in the photo repair experiments, those weak pulses of 380 nanometer light apparently created a vibration in the source field that actually caused a much higher amount of healing 380 nanometer energy to start flowing in. This in turn bathed the dead cells with a splash of rejuvenating, life-giving energy in a short period of time, and they enjoyed a remarkable healing effect.